or someone you love during life's final months, visit hospicecalumet.org.
Dixon's Florist is family-owned and operated and is committed to offering the finest floral arrangements and gifts with friendly and prompt service. They have something for every occasion. Dixon's believes that the customer is their number one priority, which is why they're happy to assist you with your individual needs. Stop by Dixon's, located at 919 Ridge Road in Munster, or call your order in 219-836-1668. Let Dixon's Florist be your first choice for flowers.
Famous steaks, famous ribs, and the best martinis in town. You know I'm talking about Freddy's Steakhouse, 165th Street and Kennedy Avenue. From the filet to the prime rib, you can't beat Freddy's fresh cuts of beef. She who will be obeyed prefers the huge seafood platter and a chocolate martini. Me, I'm a Freddy's special ribeye kind of guy. Call him today at 844-1500 to reserve your table. 844-1500, Freddy's Steakhouse, where no one goes away hungry.
Hello, everybody. This is Raymundo Garcia speaking. You know, the busboy from El Taco Real. I'm here at WJLB to announce that I am not the most interesting man in the world. I use bar soap when I shave. I once ate a hot dog with ketchup on it. I put my jeans on one leg at a time. When I drink beer, I sometimes drink Dos Equis. Sometimes I drink Corona. Sometimes I drink margaritas, and sometimes I drink Bordeaux. I don't always eat Mexican food, but when I do, I eat at El Taco Real. At El Taco Real, you can get Dos Equis, Corona, great margaritas, as well as fine wine. So when you want great Mexican food, go to El Taco Real. I'm the busboy, Raymundo Garcia, and not the most interesting man in the world. El Taco Real is located on Hoffman Street between Calumet and Columbia Avenues in beautiful North Hammond, Indiana. We're open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 11 till 10, Friday and Saturday from 11 to 11, and Sunday from 11 till 9. Stay hungry, my friends.
WJOB Hammond, Indiana. Gene Sferruzza in the control room right now, and 9:12 a.m. in the region. And the following 30 minutes is a paid program paid for by the Edison Community Watch, which is one of 12 Crime Watch associations in the great city of Hammond, and that is headed up by Hammond City Councilperson at Large, Janet Vanez. Janet, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much for a
good
Monday morning. Take it away. You've got a special guest this morning and a lot of great topics to talk
about.
Yes,
yes, we do. As Gene said, I'm Janet Vanez, and welcome to the Edison Community Watch Show. In Hammond, community and crime watch groups have become a valuable tool in our city. Each month, we bring the message of community and crime watch to the region and why it's so important for each of us to be the eyes and ears of our police department and city, and most importantly, to make the call if you see something that is just not right, because community is not just about me, it's about us. Jim spoke briefly this morning about an article in yesterday's Times. It was an article of community as a crime deterrent. Hammond Police Chief Brian Miller said the city's neighborhood watch programs have partnered with the police by calling in tips. He also said his emphasis on gang and narcotics-related crimes helped keep our homicide numbers down. This morning, our guest is Sergeant Ebby Gonzalez with the Hammond Police Department's Narcotic Division. If you have any questions for Ebby, you can give us a call at 845-1100. Good morning, Ebby.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, of course. In the Times article yesterday, Chief Miller said of the six homicides in Hammond, five were drug-related and four were gang-related. Do you feel as if the Hammond Police Department has a pretty good handle on the drug and gang activity in Hammond?
Well, Janet, that's a very good question, and I personally do. I think that the Hammond Police Department as a whole We have a very strong hold on the gang and narcotics activity here in the city. Being so close to Chicago, I believe to date, Chicago has 350 murders to date compared to our six. And being so close to Chicago, we do see a lot of the people from Chicago filter into Hammond, and a lot of the drug dealers that we arrest, you know, they have Chicago addresses, so they do find their way to our fine city of Hammond. And you know, us as a whole police department, you know, we take that personal, and we strive for perfection when it comes to fighting crime, when it comes to gangs and narcotics. So I do, Janet, and our narcotics division is we fall under Captain Roger Cardwell, and ran by Lieutenant Rob Repay, and is a group of good detectives that each and every day we come to work, we strive to hit the ground running and be proactive and also reactive here in the fine city of Hammond.
Do you think that some of these gang members and drug dealers are moving into our neighborhoods, or do you think they're just trying to infiltrate?
Well, Jenna, it's kind of hard to say. You know, I get this complaint a lot through a lot of citizens in Hammond about Illinois plates and how they park here and all these vehicles in the city of Hammond that have Illinois plates. I do notice that the time I've been in the narcotics division that we do see a lot of Illinois, Illinois people that come in, and we arrest them for either selling drugs or criminal gang activity. So it's hard to tell, but the way it looks of it is, yeah, a lot of people do seek safe haven here in the city of Hammond.
Mm-hmm. I met you at the South Hammond and Golden Manor Crime Watch meetings. And how did the Crime Watch groups benefit you and the job that you and the narcotics division do?
Wow, Jenna, I can't even explain to you how important the Crime Watch meetings and the organization of Crime Watch, how important it is to the city, not only narcotics division, but throughout the whole police department. That's when the community gets together as a whole. They get together, they talk about the problems they're having in their central community, in their area, and they're able to notify the Community Affairs Program, which is a great department in our police department, ran by Lieutenant Mark Tharp. They notify us when there's problems of certain houses, of drug activity, gang activity. They notify the respected supervisors of that unit, and they tell us, hey, in the Crime Watch meeting, there was a problem here. They have a house that possibly a lot of drug trafficking. Can you guys look into it? And we take it. We go take a look at it, and if it looks like we need to investigate it, we take it to the next step. But I can't mention enough how important Crime Watch's the meetings are, and I wish more people would attend.
We really try to encourage that in the city of Hammond. We've been called a lot of different names, do-gooders, et cetera. And I personally, my grandkids live here in Hammond. They're going to be here long after I'm gone. And I would really like to leave Hammond a little bit better than when I moved here for them. For their safety.
Absolutely.
And I think it's really important for people to take the time to find out what is happening in our city, because the information just doesn't come to you. You have to seek it out. I had a conversation with a gentleman over the weekend about a program that the city has, and he says, well, how come I didn't know about it? And I'm like, well, you know, it's on the website, it's in the paper. You need to seek out the information, and that's very much the situation in our neighborhoods with code enforcement. People don't understand what our code enforcement department does and how they work hand in hand with the police department.
Absolutely, Jen, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I think a lot of the problem is with the citizens when it comes to Crime Watch meetings. A lot of them are a little intimidated by the meetings. They don't know kind of what takes place, and you know, when you kind of sit back and talk to them person to person, and you explain to them what these meetings entail, they're kind of surprised, and they're actually very open to start attending these. And I've been attending these for quite a few years now, and I see the same people over and over and over. And I wish that people in the community would actually realize that, you know, your kids live in this community, you live in your community, your parents, your friends, and if you attend these Crime Watch meetings as a group of people, we can make our communities much safer by joining hand in hand with the police department and fixing the problems that need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm. And to make our neighborhood accountable.
Absolutely.
You know, we hear MX on the radio all the time, and he talks about being his alley superintendent, and his alley is pristine. But and it's taken him a long time to get his neighbors to clean up his alley. And we can do that very same thing in our neighborhoods. We always talk that at the Crime Watch meetings that we want our we encourage our residents to be nosy neighbors, not meddling neighbors. Nosy neighbors, you know, you can pick up the phone and make an anonymous call to the narcotics hotline, for instance.
Yes.
Or you can call the non-emergency number and tell them something that's going on, something that you think just doesn't look quite right.
Absolutely.
So what are your responsibilities in the narcotics division with the police department?
Well, my responsibility, I'm in a unit called the Special Deployment Division. Our responsibilities go from narcotic investigations. We do prostitution stings from time to time. We also do a lot of other investigations, too, depending on where we're needed. That's why we're kind of called Special Deployment. If the chief has a problem throughout the city and they need some more guys to get their hands dirty, you know, he reaches out to Captain Roger Cardwell and he gets us on, and then we're quick to respond.
How long have you been in narcotics?
I've been a narcotics detective for a little over a year now, and prior to that, I was in the canine unit, which I dealt with a lot of narcotics.
Oh, know. Okay.
Yes.
The canine unit. As a matter of fact, Crime Watch back a few years ago, it took us a couple of years, but we took collections for the bulletproof vests for the canine officers. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, people don't understand how important our partners are to us. And unfortunately, 2 years ago, my partner passed away that we were partners for about 10 years, and it hit home pretty hard. And,
I'll bet.
Yeah, they're very close, and the unit is such a good unit. It's ran by Sergeant Aubrey Thomas now, and you know, the dogs are a great asset, a great tool, great police officers on the street to help fight crime.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to see those dogs in action.
Absolutely amazing.
I saw a demonstration, and at the demonstration they had some marijuana that they stashed somewhere, and boy, that dog just sought it out and found it in an instant.
Yeah, Janet, their noses are amazing. I mean, we can't even begin to fathom how what they smell. It's just unbelievable. Canines are just an absolute asset to the whole city, and mm-hmm. hopefully this program continues to strive and the city you know, responds to by supporting the canine unit, because it's very important.
Sure. If anybody has any questions, you can call 845-1100. What moves you to do your job? I view it as a very dangerous work. What moves you?
Well, Jen, as cliche as it may sound, I was born, raised here in the city of Hammond. I went to school here in the city of Hammond. So I have pride here in the city of Hammond. So, you know, each and every day I come to work, I understand that I take the ultimate sacrifice, knowing that my life's on the line, as much as all these officers for the city of Hammond, Hammond Police Department. I could probably speak for all of them. I mean, they come to work each and every day understanding the responsibilities and the consequences and repercussions we might take coming to work. To me, it's just pride. I think pride is the number one answer to that, because I take great pride in what I do. I take great pride in the city of Hammond. And, you know, each and every day I come to work, it's something different, and I enjoy that, even knowing that it's dangerous. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is going home to my family. So it is dangerous, but I enjoy it.
We cannot thank you and your fellow officers enough for the job that you do. As you said, each and every day, you know that you may put your life on the line for us, and you allow all of us to sleep a little bit easier at night, knowing that you are out there protecting us. And we just can't thank you enough for all that you do.
Well, thank you, Jen. I'm proud to be a part of the Hammond Police Department. It's a great police department, and these guys take great pride in their work, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. We do have a caller, MX. Good morning. How are you?
Good. You know what? I can't hear.
Can you hear?
Crank up the volume?
Can you hear me now? Pump up the volume.
Yeah, that too. Well,
all
you
righty.
Know what? If
you okay
if
now?
If I overtalk you, it's because I can't hear. But, you know, when it comes to crime, MX can't shut up and Perry can't control him. But if it wasn't for Officer Holbrook, there would be no Clean Alley. I mean, we're down to a piece of paper now. Janet, you know what? Things bother me, and when I jump up in a meeting, it's only because of the concern for the neighbors around me, and that's why I go off like I do, and I really don't want to, you know, but I just can't stop because I do love where I live, and my neighbors are good. I know my last sign, I mean my last idea of trying to get it out to the public real quick, like if there's something going on, it's a Lake County idea to put a billboard sign, a digital billboard sign up, and then 4 points in Lake County say, we're looking for this person. It's just an idea. It could be the start of something. And just like the Community Crime Watch, crime is down in Hessville. A lot of people don't show up. And Officer Holbrook asked me, we get like maybe 35 people. He says, well, how come nobody's showing up? I said, well, look at your statistics. There's zeros in all the blanks. And if something does happen, more people show up. But during the time that I started going, after I retired in 2005, I started going in 2006, there has to have been at least 350 people come through there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I asked Officer Holbrook, well, are you at least getting phone calls? He goes, yes, I get them all the time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, thanks to the officer next to you and the Crime Watch and Mayor Tom, things are going good. And you too, Janet. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, MX. And thank you to you. Your idea is a great one. We all know that information is power. And for all of us to be aware of what is going on in our neighborhood is of utmost importance. And most importantly, what you do with that information. If you see something that is suspicious, call the police. I've heard so many times that the police would much rather get a call about something that turns out to be nothing than miss a call about something. So please pick up the phone, make the phone call, and that's how we will keep our neighborhoods clean. Thanks, MX. We do have another caller. Gene, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I was calling. Yesterday I had to make a 911 call on Woodmar Street in Hammond, and I got connected to the 911 in Cedar Lake. Have they already started the consolidation thing?
I'm not aware of that. Are you, Ebby? I believe it takes effect January 2015.
Yeah, I wouldn't know the exact answer to that, but I don't believe so, Gene. I believe if you dial the non-emergency number or 911, did you use your cell phone or a landline?
I did use my cell phone. That was my next question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes, Gene, when you use your cell phone and a tower's busy, it kind of shoots you to a different tower, and sometimes you get rerouted to a different agency, and unfortunately, that's a problem a lot of people have. But next time, if you just dial the non-emergency number, you'll get straight to the Hammond Police Department.
Yeah, well, it was an emergency. That's why.
Oh, okay.
A car
I understand.
In front of the house. So. Okay. That's what I needed.
Thank you so much for calling. We do have another caller, Hank from South Holland. Good morning.
Good morning. I just I just want to mention one thing is where the police and I call paramedics in there too because they're first responders and the firemen.
Yes.
But they see so much stuff that goes on. And they have to have a place, certain place in heaven for, but what I want to mention is where the police are so the job is so demanding. You want the highest caliber people, and you want people that are smart and can we'll do diplomatic work with the general public. But the question I have is, how many man hours per year does each officer get as far as mental health, PTSD, people with a hard of a hearing, and domestic situations? I just wonder how many man hours are they? Because I have a relative who was in Vietnam. If he's not taking his medication, I'm afraid that he's going to be in trouble. I mean, just, you know, he may get smart with the police or whatever. And I have another a friend who is hard of hearing, and it led to him being tasered because he didn't hear what was the commands.
I would think that would be very difficult for the police to.
How many man hours?
So the question goes to Abby.
Yeah.
So, Hank,
I'll hang up and then listen.
Thank you, Hank.
Thanks, Hank. I believe, Jenna, I kind of understand his question, but I believe he's asking how many man hours do we get either of help or training, reference domestic violence or reference, you know, if you have a problem of hearing, you know, I mean, that's all up to the officer. If he's developed a certain hearing problem or he's developed some kind of problems dealing with a certain situation that he's seen or dealt with, you know, there's different avenues the police department offers for us to get help, to reach out to certain specialists and ask for help and reach out. And that's a great question, Hank. And, you know, it is an overwhelming job, and we do see a lot of bad things each and every day. But in time, you learn to deal with it in your own certain way. But there are avenues for help out there, and the police department and the city of Hammond do offer it.
How do you disconnect from what you see every day on the streets?
Wow. Well, Jen, I was in the military, so I started early, understanding how to try to separate things. The hardest thing for me is children. To deal with certain things with children because they're innocence. You see certain crimes against children. It's hard to swallow, and it's kind of hard to sleep at night sometimes. Mm-hmm. But over time, you develop kind of like a harsh skin, kind of, mm-hmm. so say. Mm-hmm. And it's bad, you know, but sometimes my wife is really good because I talk to her a lot about certain problems, and it's kind of feels good to exhale sometimes with somebody, and it's good to speak to her. So it is hard. I'm not going to say it's not, but you, in time, you learn to deal with situations and kind of how to work past
it. Women who are married to police and firemen are very special women.
Oh, they're the rock, the rock foundation.
Yes. We do have another caller. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. And if you weren't in narcotics unit, which other unit would you be in?
Phil, you're asking me if I had to choose which other unit I would be in if it wasn't for narcotics?
Yes, sir.
It's a good question, but I don't see myself being in any other unit right now. I really enjoy narcotics. I love the investigation aspect of it. I love the chess game. I like to say it. It's a chess game for me to play with the drug dealers. I love this unit. I love every aspect of it. So as of right now, I can't even imagine being anywhere else where I'm at. I'm just blessed to be where I'm at and enjoy doing what I'm doing each and every day.
Well, good for us.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. We do have another caller. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi,
Tony.
Tony from Munster.
I can't stress enough about Crime Watch meetings. You know, your community is just as good as you make it.
Absolutely, Tony.
And nobody's going to do it for you. We all got to pull together. You know, you watch for crime. You don't think those criminals aren't watching you? They're driving around just looking for avenues to get into.
Yes, and as a community, when you get together and have these meetings, you build a bond as a community, and you, as more people attend these meetings, the stronger community you get, and the criminals don't want to come in there because they know people will call the police, and they know that the police will be in that area because the community cares and the police department cares. So that's a great thing that you just mentioned.
Absolutely.
Tony.
Absolutely, and you can always pick up a lot of good tips from these meetings, too, like we've got Halloween coming, mm-hmm. and one of the things they stressed at our meeting is don't shut all your lights off. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not participating in trick-or-treat, at least leave one house light on because somebody will run around and see no lights and try to break in.
Absolutely, Tony. Great advice.
Thank you so much.
Be careful about the kitties.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. You know, we find that people, residents, are reluctant to pick up the phone and make the call because they're afraid of some type of retaliation. My advice for someone who feels like that is never, ever confront the person that you have a problem with. Just go in your home, pick up the phone, and make the call to the police. You don't have to give your name. You are completely anonymous. The police officers will not come to your home unless you specifically ask them to come to your home. You can call, a resident can call after they make an inquiry or a complaint, and they can call and find out what the result of that was, correct?
Absolutely, Jen. And being in narcotics investigations, a lot of our callers that call the narcotic tip line and they tell us certain houses and certain suspicious activity that they see, they're always, you know, nervous about leaving their name and stuff. And I just want the public to know that, you know, you could always call and give those tips out, and your name could stay anonymous. And that's how a lot of our investigations start, is by the concerned citizen that's tired of seeing this activity in their community and their neighborhood on their block. And they call us, and it leads to an investigation. And hopefully we can fix that problem immediately.
Mm-hmm. Just for everyone's information, the narcotics hotline number in Hammond is 853-6487. That's 853-6487.
Jane, I don't mean to cut you off, but I guess got a text from Chief Miller. That question referenced the consolidation, referenced the 911, January 2015.
Okay, 2015. All righty. Yes, we do have a ways to go on that one. And there is plenty of controversy surrounding that. However, I personally believe that consolidating the 911 is going to be very good for all of us. How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm kind of biased about it because I believe our dispatchers in the city of Hammond are fantastic. They don't get as much credit as they deserve. You know, they're stressful. They're in this room dealing with frantic people screaming and yelling and dealing with a lot. You know, we take it for granted for what the dispatchers take. So I'm biased because I really appreciate what our Hammond Police Department dispatchers do. But that's a pay grade way higher than mine. So whatever they decide, I'm with it, Janet.
Speaking of the dispatchers, there is a gal, her name is Trish. She is outstanding. We invited her to one of the meetings of Edison Community Watch. This was a couple of years ago. And somebody, one of the residents said, well, you know, we find that the dispatchers are rude to us when we call. And she said, I want to give you a picture of what our job is. First of all, somebody calls in. Their husband is laying on the floor. He's turning blue because he's had a heart attack. The dispatcher has to dispatch the ambulance. She has to get information about what is going on with this individual. She has to calm down the wife, give her instructions on how to try and keep her husband alive until the police and the ambulance comes. And this is a really tense situation for several minutes. And then the next phone call she gets is from a drunk who lost his car. I could understand how somebody would lose their patience, and you're like, what? You know, I know they can't just hang up on an individual like that, but right. I think that would be my first instinct.
Absolutely. Trish is a wonderful dispatcher. When she's on the other side of the radio, we feel comfortable knowing that we're in good hands when it comes to dispatchers and police officers, communication. It's a crazy job, Janet. You know, I had the pleasure before I got hit the streets. I got to do some time in the radio.
Did you?
Yeah, and it was the only word I can explain is chaos.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's amazing, and like I said, they don't get enough credit, and they just do an absolutely amazing job, and it's great.
Yeah, yeah. They and Trish is the only one that I know. I do know that Carl Item was over that department for a while, and he's a pretty no-nonsense guy. and he's been at some of the Crime Watch meetings. And you know, these are some of the things that we talk about at Crime Watch.
Right.
We have... you know, dispatchers, we have police officers at the Edison Community Watch meeting coming up on November 6th. We're going to have the Lake County Sheriff, John Buncich, and I'm sure he'll talk about his STOP program.
Which is a great program, Janet. I haven't had the pleasure to work with those group of good guys, but they're out there and they're enforcing they're saturating a lot of areas that are problem areas in Hammond, East Chicago, Gary, other cities, and it's a great tool. And all the chief of police's and all the communities that put this thing together, hats off to them, because it's a great program. Mm-hmm. And hopefully in the future, you know, we get to work hand in hand with those guys because they're doing good things.
Yeah, I think it's really commendable how all of our police departments are working together, because it's not just a Hammond problem, it's not just a Gary problem, it's a region problem, and it affects all of us, no matter if you live on the north end of the county or the south end of the county. Well, we're just about out of time. We ask the region to think about us and not just me. Attend a Crime Watch or community meeting. It's only through our combined efforts that we can affect change. It's so very important to let criminals know that Hammond is organized and we are fighting to keep our neighborhoods safe. If we all come together for the betterment of our neighborhoods, we will see results. As I said earlier, Edison Community Watch's next meeting will be Wednesday, November 6th, 6:30 p.m. at Edison School, and our guest speaker will be Lake County Sheriff John Buncich. If you want information about our meetings or other Community and Crime Watch meetings, you can visit edisoncommunitywatch.com. There's a lot of information on that website, in addition to being able to hear repeats of our radio show. Thanks, Region. We look forward to talking to you next month. And remember, community is not just about me, it's about us.